From all corners of the globe to your ears, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Sometimes informative, sometimes controversial, but always unpredictable. It's the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast with your hosts, Hunter, John, and Stu. And now, on with the show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Feminazis may want to turn away from this one this week. Anyway, so I'm your host, Stuart, and I've got here with me John Grace.
Buzz, buzz, man.
Yeah. Fuck them male rights. And also got Garrow here this week. What's going on, brother?
Hey, what up?
Don't know. Well, I'll tell you what's not here this week, or who's not here. It's Hunter.
Yeah, but in Hunter's defense, he is a feminist, and he found the idea of this documentary offensive, and that's why he decided not to be here tonight.
He did. He was. He contacted me. He said, "Can't do it. I can't go against my sisterhood."
Sister. Yep. And he yelled at us and said, "We're fucking white males." So
he did.
Come on, guys. It's not true. He's like Ben Horn in Twin Peaks, and he's dressed up like a Civil War general. He's got little cannons firing. All his toy soldiers. He's reenacting the Battle of Gettysburg.
He's he's like that guy in that documentary. What was it? Mullenkoll. He's got his own little battlefield in the backyard.
He's gonna be setting up for Custer's last stand realize the truth.
Anyway, so this week we're going to be talking about a documentary that came out last year called The Red Pill. Now, this has gained a lot of notoriety over here, anyway, in Australia, to the extent that if you are a cinema chain or a independent theatre and you screen this film, I've heard numerous accounts of people ringing in who are independent theatres and also read online that if you screen this film, you will be picketed and also you will receive death threats. So a lot of places have stopped screening this film. It is available in video on demand here. And also the filmmaker Cassie J has received a lot of heat from particular cucks on television here. One being Andrew O'Keefe, that waste of space, who is on that show called Scum Rise in the Morning. Sunrise, sorry. My mistake. Who basically blasted Cassie J for the film. And also Waleed Ali, filthmonger off the project, off that dying horse known as Channel 10, who said the same thing. Now, have you guys heard any sort of pushback against this documentary over there in the US?
It's sort of a word of mouth thing around here. Like, I noticed I went to the Rotten Tomatoes page after watching it, and of course, it's got mostly negative reviews, but not a lot of reviews. Only like 6 reviews, I think, are on there. So I think there was sort of a media blackout on it. And I'm looking at the IMDb review page tonight, and if you look at the first reviews, they're all like 1 star. Yeah. And there's like 2 pages of that, then suddenly it's like 5 stars, so it's like, or 10 or whatever it is, and people who actually watched it are rating it very high. So that it's kind of like when Ann Coulter releases a new book, there's all these negative reviews on Amazon by people who didn't read it. You know, they're just they're out to create a sort of media, you know, I don't know what you would call it, is shit, I don't know, trying to blue pill everybody on reviews. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, your Rotten Tomatoes is the hub of you know, the epicenter of everybody being blue pilled.
Well, it also shows you how biased everybody is, because if you read the reviews, it's like they automatically, you could find all these certain phrases that they always repeat. They all say it. It's like, you know, this is, you know, their movement is offensive, or this is offensive, or something. It's just, you know, they're so dead set against it anyway that they didn't look at it with an open mind. They probably praised every dumb Michael Moore movie.
No, you know, it's funny. If you look at the pictures of the critics who gave it negative reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, they all look like the biggest cucks imaginable.
Because they are.
Because they are.
Yeah.
No real man has that job. So
nope.
You know. Nope. Like that one that you were talking about the other day, Garrow, on social media. That guy
Oh yeah,
the birth movies death writer. Oh god.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. He looked like he had, his girlfriend has a black boyfriend. You know, he's definitely that much of a cuck. I mean, it's. I mean, you can smell the cum on his breath. That guy.
Yeah.
He looks like the sort of guy who wishes he had the girlfriend's black boyfriend as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's just like you look at anytime you see like really fucking faggy ass writing, you look at the writer and you go, "Oh yeah, I can see him saying that."
Yeah,
yeah. It's never like it's never a guy who pounds a few beers and gets in a fist fight. You never see the guy who looks like that writing that shit.
No, and plus he wrote a Tyler Perry book about Madea.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. That's just outing yourself right there.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, anyway, the premise of this documentary is Cassie J, a ex-actress, sort of made some, low-budget horrors, it looks like, got disillusioned with Hollywood and the Hollywood system, became a documentary filmmaker, and then was looking for a topic for her next project and came across the men's rights movement.
Well, and a lot of her former documentaries were definitely a lot of liberal fucking leaning documentaries. I mean,
she's a lib too.
It was all like gay rights and women's rights and all this, liberal bullshit, that they force down our throats all the time. Like it's a problem, but really it's not a problem because gays have rights. Women have rights. I mean, there's really, it's not like it's the 1950s anymore. I mean, we live in 2017, and the only time you see a woman making less than a man is when they're working for Elizabeth Warren. That's the only time you see it.
Exactly. Oh, very true. Or the new Doctor Who is getting paid. She's getting paid less than Capaldi and Matt Smith and all those actors.
I wouldn't doubt it.
No.
It's all the people who are telling you that it's wrong that, women are getting paid, less than men, are the ones who are actually paying the women less than the men.
Hey, man, they're covering up.
There's a reason they're virtue signaling so strong.
Oh, yeah. They don't want you to look at their finances. They don't want you to look at their payroll.
Yeah. Like Bernie Sanders.
Oh, God. Oh, jeez.
World of shit.
Oh, I know.
Sorry.
My world of shit.
Oh, my gosh. So, Stu, in Australia, is this like a big... This is like a huge topic, I guess? The whole men's rights thing?
It has... The men's rights... not so much, no. It was actually only really brought to my attention via this documentary and all this pushback that Cassie J had been receiving. It's like, why... people getting so upset about the fact that there's a men's rights movement or documentary out there and they don't want to scream. What are you afraid of? People getting red-pilled and seeing the feminist movement for the bunch of fucking lies that it really is. It's all one big lie. It's all it is. It's all based on a lie.
It makes young people feel important about themselves when they're really not contributing anything to society. For example, going to college. And not really contributing anything, getting these terrible liberal arts degrees.
It's a brainwash center. It's all colleges these days, a brainwash center.
Yeah. I say bring back the tech schools. I'm just done with that shit. It's like, bring back Votech,
Yep.
Learn work skills, be an apprentice, learn real skills.
But there was one guy here who owns a theater, a very small independent theater, who had a slated screening of it, was picketed, and somehow somebody got a hold of his actual home number, and him and his family were threatened with a death threat. But if they screen this film, I thought, you have got to be fucking kidding me. Seriously.
That's liberals for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's them. Tolerant ways for you.
They're totalitarians these days. It's just the way they are.
The one thing that was interesting while watching the documentary is they interview all the men's rights people, and they're all like soft spoken, and they're trying to have a rational argument and all that. I mean, a lot of them seem like very downbeaten. Like, they're always talking about men have all this power, but these seem like the most powerless men you could imagine. And then you see the liberals and the fucking them, and they're the most fucking hateful and
angriest and nastiest.
And it's women and men, and they're all just the most nastiest people you could honestly imagine. And it's like, the reason the liberals hate this documentary is because it exposes them for the fucking douchebags that they are.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, they dig their own graves. They dig their own graves with their words in this one. They just let them speak. Like that big red, one. It's like, good Lord. It's like, you really want to punch your TV.
Do you know Big Red is responsible for 99% of all male self-castrations in America?
Yeah. She's a one hideous looking fucking thing, I tell you.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry
about that. Must be why Canadians are trying to marry Russian women.
Yeah, probably are.
It's just bring in Brazilian women to marry or something, because that's a Toronto girl nowadays.
And Toronto girls used to be fucking hot back in the 90s.
Oh, God.
Fucking liberalism killed those. Killed it all.
Thanks, Trudeau.
Thanks. Yeah. Good going, Trudeau.
Thanks, awesome. Little Castro.
Son of Tiger Beat Castro is what he is.
Son of Castro. But you're right, Garrow. It's the fact that the feminists in this film, and it includes the male ones as well, the male feminists, the cucks. Yeah. I won't call them male feminists. They're just cucks. They were just angry, nasty, just nonsensical people out there. Like that Dr. Kimmel, whatever he was. It's like nothing he said made any sense whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
It was just counter argument for the sake of counter argument. That's all it was.
And then there was that scene where there was going to be a speaking thing in Toronto, and there's a guy who's just waiting in line to go into the thing, and there's just some fucking feminist bitch just yelling at him. Yeah. Like, he's just like, I just want to hear what people have to say. No, you're a fucking Nazi. You're a fucking woman hater. Fuck you. And it's like, they don't know how to have an argument. All they know how to do is argue yell at you.
Scream at you, scream at you, yell at you, call your names. But honestly, that guy, it's his own fault as well, because he should have just said fuck off and walked inside.
I mean,
why did he stand there trying to reason with that? You can't.
I mean, I honestly don't know why more feminists aren't punched in the face, like, constantly. Because when you're doing that, I think you should have a right to punch someone in the face when they get into your face. Man, woman, if you're going to be an obnoxious son of a bitch and do that shit to you when you're just standing there minding your own business, I'm sorry, we've gotten to the point where I think sometimes you have to punch a motherfucker in the face. That's what I'm saying. I know that's controversial, but fuck it.
That's October, Garrow. It's punch a bitch, mindful of what that thing was in the show.
Yeah.
I remember. Yeah.
Well, you know, you got guys like Bass Stick Man, you know, since this was made, who kind of came a taste of their own medicine. it's odd. Well, also in a way, I feel like it's almost like you remember the who's that stupid church that did the whole God Hates Fags thing, the Westboro
Baptist, yeah.
And that whole church is a lawsuit scam. They're all lawyers. They want somebody to hit them so they can sue them. That's all it is.
Yeah.
They're incredibly brazenly offensive. Everybody in the church, the founders, are trained lawyers. It's a scam. And but the funny thing is when stuff would happen, like they're going to go protest some dead little kid's funeral, who wouldn't punch him for that? And then Hell's Angels will show up and guard the funeral. Then they back off because they know if they get hit by one of those guys, it's permanent damage. You could actually scare them off.
That was like when Jeff Hanneman of Slayer died. They were going to go picket his funeral, but they were just warned, don't even turn up because you have a fucking life beaten out of you, and they never did.
Right. And I feel like sometimes these protests, these screechy protests are almost, I almost swear it's like a lawsuit scam, until we actually see a lawsuit over it.
Oh, it totally is, because there's always someone there with their phone recording you.
Yes.
There's always someone there, because it's all evidence. And, straight away, they're recording it, even if they've got the phone ripped out of their hands and smashed or whatever, they stop recording that, pressing that shit up to the cloud, it's safe for posterity. They're not stupid. Annoying, not stupid. That's why you just fucking ignore them. They want to sit there and string you.
That's what we need to do. We need to change the laws. You know how, like, some states are changing the laws to where if you're protesting in the middle of the street and someone runs you over, it's your own damn fault?
Yeah.
That's what we need for if people get in your face and all that. Because it's personal space, and if you're going to fucking attack our personal space, I think there should be a consequence.
Yeah, but you live in a country where someone can break into your house, and if they trip over, they can sue you. You got to fix that one first. Yeah. I mean,
there's some stupid state laws depending on where you live.
Yeah, unless you live in some stupid states, I guess. Like Utah. Utah sounds like it's one of them. Going by this
document. Yeah, well, it's because I think the Mormons kind of influenced all the government decisions, and they're all based on a completely backward system of.
Thanks, Osmond's family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, individual people should have the same rights as an abortion clinic.
Yes.
That's what it should be. If you can't protest a abortion clinic, you have to be, like, what, 50 feet away or 100 feet away?
Something like that. And again, it depends on where you live. So.
And I think if you're going to protest something, you should, and you're protesting people in a line, you can't be up in their face. You got to be 50 to 100 feet away. You can't invade personal pieces, people's spaces, and it should be, you should have the same rights as an abortion clinic. That's what it should
be. Well, when they showed that footage of that Toronto speech that got shut down in 2013 by those, you know, those people having a discussion on stage, and those idiots were out in the hallway screaming and protesting, and they set off a fire alarm. It's like, well, why were they in the hallway? Why were they allowed in there?
Why weren't they arrested?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, seriously, the police over there are pretty fucking weak. They're pretty useless.
Canada is really backwards on all that stuff. They're very strangely backwards. It's a really bizarre thing when you really look at it. It doesn't make much sense the way their system works.
I mean, really, they should change the name of the country to Cuckanda.
Cuckanda. Cuckanada. Cuckanada.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Goodbye to all our Canadian listeners.
I mean, John will tell you, like, when we used to go to Toronto in the 90s, like, me and John would always use the word fag and just be like, oh, that's kind of faggy and stuff like that. And our Canadian friends would look at us like we just did a hate crime.
Really?
Yeah, we were 80s kids, so that wasn't, like, a taboo word. And, of course, boy, by the 90s, we go there, and they're like, oh, you can't talk like that. Yeah, it's like you'll be arrested. And actually, I think I've heard of people being arrested for hate speech in Canada, so it's like, oh, well, I guess I dodged a bullet there.
That's ridiculous. You fucking ridiculous.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't throw the word around anymore because it's, you know, I just don't. I don't even curse as much as they used to, so it's just, yeah.
What are you doing on this show then? Fuck off.
Because I want us to stay on iTunes.
So anyway, Cassie J goes and visits all these men's rights movements, speaks to prominent figures like that Alum guy, who his name is male backwards. But at the same time, she's starting to question her own feminist beliefs. And has she been hoodwinked all these years by these feminists? One thing that bothered me, where I stood up, I sat up, I thought, huh, why has she done that? It was when she felt she was starting to get in too deep with these men's rights movements, starting to get too involved in what they were doing, and then decided to go back to this feminist group. And I'm like, why are you doing that? What are you wrestling with?
I can understand it. You know why? It's because you got to understand, liberals are brainwashed so deeply that basically they, even when they start hearing the truth and they start, like, you know, understanding it a bit, that brainwashing starts kicking in again, and they start to go against by what they're learning, and they kind of have to, like, they doubt everything because they've been so thoroughly brainwashed. And that's, I kind of get why she did that, but it was good for her because she went back to the feminist shit. And because she had all this stuff she's been hearing from the male rights things, she was able to see a lot more bullshit in the feminists and actually pushed her closer to the male's rights people.
Yeah, that's right. But, unfortunately it's very, very few people out there who will go down that rabbit hole, as she says, to seek the truth. And, come out the other end as learned.
You can see that right in the documentary, because all the fucking feminists don't want to hear any argument but their own.
And their argument was invalid. They had nothing.
Anything?
They had no argument. It was completely invalid. I just sat there looking for some sort of grain of truth of what they were saying, and I would think, okay, that's a good counter argument. There was nothing.
Well, all they do is yell and insult you. That's all they do is yell and insult.
They have no data. Even when she was talking to that head of the feminist organization or whatever, who was like a doctor and was trying to sound, you know, professional or whatever, she has no data.
No.
There's nothing. She can't provide a statistic. She can't show, you know, like, I thought the first hour of this was a bit kind of middling. And then the second hour, I thought it really picked up.
It did.
Because she started hitting really strong points with, like, that Karen Stauer, the feminist in Toronto, who talked about Boko Haram.
Yes.
And how that, you know, they were wiping out boys' schools for years. And it wasn't until they kidnapped those girls, then they got coverage. And that was a really shocking moment in the documentary. And it's just like, oh, then suddenly you get all these pointless bring back our girls memes. But they didn't say anything when they were just wiping out, you know, Christian schools of boys or whatever. It was just depressing. It was really sad.
When I saw Barack Obama and Michelle Obama in this, I said, oh, boy. I just thought of Garrow straight away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh boy. There we go.
And that's all pointless bullshit. You want to bring back your girls? Hire mercenaries. Hire some real men to go in there and get them. Because I tell you, the Boko Haram's not reading Twitter. They don't give a shit.
No, you look
weak in their eyes because you're not. You know, you're not thinking on their terms. Everybody in the Western civilization thinks that these other cultures and societies think on our terms. They don't. It's ridiculous.
Hey, how's Islam treating you, Lindsay Lohan? Gee, that worked out well. Not.
You know what? Boy, there is somebody who just blew all her potential with just one crazy thing after another.
Yeah.
It's amazing to see these young actresses and actors completely screw up their careers, just doing the stupidest shit.
Yeah. Cocaine's spoiled, a drug.
Spoiled brats, coke. They should do MDME or something. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Mellow them out.
Yeah, they'd be better off doing shrooms. Yeah,
probably. Yeah.
They'd be like James Coburn beating a gong in the desert or some shit. That's better than what they've been doing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so anyway, after I'd watched this, and I know we're leaping about all over the places, but we could never keep a straight linear narrative with this one. There's too much in there. I walked away, even though Cassie J says at the end, I now no longer call myself a feminist. I don't fully buy into that. I think she's still struggling with what she's learnt from the men's movement and all the brainwashing that she's had over the feminist movement over the years.
Yeah, well, you know, it's got to be tough believing something hardcore for 20 years and suddenly starting to doubt it.
It'd be like fleeing Scientology.
Believing this garbage for 20 years.
Yeah, it's like fleeing Scientology. It's the same shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've been brainwashed by an ideology based on a lie, and you're trying to adjust to that. So I'm not knocking Cassie J for still struggling with everything, but I'm not fully convinced yet that she's being red-pilled.
Honestly, maybe not by the end of the documentary, but I think the reaction by all the feminists to the documentary, I'm pretty sure she's probably not a feminist anymore.
Yeah, I would say it's a good point. Good point.
Yeah.
The feminists have done nothing to help this documentary or their cause. If you can call a cause, they're the only thing fucking movement they are is a bowel movement, mate. They're just pure shit. But
well, that's why they got to spread these lies like women aren't paid as much as men. It's like, yeah, overall, because they don't work in sewers and construction sites. They don't do all the hard labor. They don't work as garbage men.
And a lot of women quit working when they have a kid.
Yeah, so overall average, they're not going to make as much because their life doesn't dictate it. And it's reality of who takes the shit jobs. Men take a lot of the dirty jobs, the shit jobs, but they're paid well. That's the myth, is those guys were never paid well for that when I was growing up. You got to go to college because, you know, you're not going to make any money. You're going to be like a garbage man. Well, garbage man makes more than I did.
They do. They make a lot of money. Yeah, that's a myth out there.
It's crazy.
They make shit. That's not the case at all.
And they don't even work like it. And I heard a lot of them don't even work like an 8-hour day. They work like 3-4 hours a day, and they make like $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you look at the garbage men these days, I don't know about over there in the US, but over here, they just drive a truck with a hydraulic arm. It picks up your bin and tips it onto
That's all they do here. They compresses the trash, and that's all they do.
So all they're doing is basically driving, not really even touching the shit to begin with. So they're still making big bucks. I mean, it's just a stigma of being labeled a garbage man. What do you do? Oh, garbage industry. Well,
yeah.
Okay, so you're obviously a peon who doesn't make nothing. Oh, no.
Right. It's stereotyping. I follow Mike Rowe on Facebook. I've never watched his cable shows, Dirty Jobs, but he's always pushing the idea of bringing back the trades, you know, and blue-collar work actually pays a lot better than people realize.
Good thing about Mike Rowe, he's pretty fucking woke as well.
Oh, yeah, he totally is.
Yeah, seen him numerous times on Tucker Carlson's show.
If anybody kept an open mind and looked at all the information, no one would be a liberal.
No, they wouldn't.
The problem is they get so brainwashed early on. And I can tell you this because I lived in Cambridge my whole life, and it's a very liberal city. And I had a mother. My mother is the biggest liberal you can imagine. Like, she loved Barack Obama. She hates Donald Trump. You know, I grew up, you know, being told that Democrats were the best and liberalism is the greatest thing to ever happen. And then when I got older, probably into my, because at some point I was like, I don't like either party. Right. And I didn't know why I didn't like either party. And then during the Trump thing, I realized that there were nationalists and globalists. And I realized it was because every Republican and every Democrat that we've had as president has been a globalist.
Yes. Yep.
And that's why I could never vote for a Democrat and I could never vote for a Republican. And Donald Trump is the first one of those two parties that I ever voted for because he was a nationalist. And it was just a kind of thing where I was at a point where I didn't have a favorite on either side. And by Donald Trump coming in and watching Donald Trump and seeing who Donald Trump was and seeing that he wasn't a puppet of the Republican Party and he wasn't a puppet of George Soros and seeing that he was actually an individualistic candidate, which is something you never fucking see or the media never gives any attention to, it actually opened my eyes. But I was open-minded enough to be able to see that, and a lot of people aren't because they're so fucking brainwashed because they've been brainwashed since they've been kids.
Yeah, and a lot of them are just scared to actually put their hand up and say, you know what, I don't give a shit what you fucking think. You know, I'm going to do what I want to do.
Yeah,
and go against the type and say, oh, well, you vote Republican, you're a fucking racist. And, well, who cares? You know, that's your fucking opinion. You're wrong, and it's your opinion. You know, you're entitled to it. Now piss off.
And you got to give Cassie J like a lot of credit. I mean, she went in there like, you know, with the idea that she was going to take down the men's movement, and then went in there and completely listened to what they had to say and kind of, you know, got unbrainwashed. I mean, completely, to the point where she was able to see, you know, that everything that the feminists and the liberals were saying was all fucking bullshit. And you have to give her the credit that she was open-minded enough to be able to do that, because a lot of filmmakers, like if Michael Moore made this documentary, it would be a totally fucking different documentary.
Oh God, it would have been a propaganda piece towards the feminist movement that it wouldn't be, it'd be another Michael Moore untruth.
Yep. Completely. The word for Michael Moore's movies I think the word is tendentious. It's where you already have a preconceived point, and you just edit your documentary to prove your point. You don't learn anything. You don't get surprised and say, oh, this isn't my opinion anymore. It just reconfirms your bias. That's all it is. It's just all confirmation bias by cherry-picking footage. With Cassie J, I think the title Red Pill refers to her own red pill of dealing with – she had reality slapped in her face. And yeah. I think she kind of – I think she – you find the men are a lot more sympathetic than the screechy harpies that are just screaming their heads off. And, you know, you're basically just looking at dried ovaries in the next 40 years.
But in their eyes, I have no idea
how any guy could fuck those women. They are just the worst people imaginable.
Yeah. Yeah. I getting that big red. Oh God. There's a fucking permanent soft on for you right there.
The funny thing is I argued with idiots on Facebook who were like men trying, well, I wouldn't call them men, defending the Ghostbusters remake and calling anybody who, you know, goes against it a sexist or whatever. I said, I think it just looks like a piece of shit. You know, if it were actually funny, I would admit it's funny.
Isn't it funny, but it's
like they think they're impressing women. They think they're impressing these feminists. Those feminist women don't like guys like that.
They don't like
guys.
That's the whole point. They don't like them. They don't want them. They just want more allies. That's all it is.
They want those. Most of those women fantasize about getting ravaged by a construction worker. They totally respond to macho guys. It's true. They totally do.
They don't see something.
In my experience, that's what they like. They really, they like, they don't like to say it. So they have all these cucky men, like, who write for Birth, Death, and Movies. Like, you know,
what about
up their behinds, but
they don't like all those sorts of guys.
Yeah, not really drawing the chicks.
No, not cock.
Yeah, or like Devin Faraci, you know, who was basically a real-life pussy grabber, and it's because chicks weren't responding to him. Some fat nerd, you know. So they don't care.
He's just part of the rape culture, man.
Yeah, he is now. He turns out to be the real deal. He's apparently got some sock puppet accounts on Twitter. I'm going to have to find out from our source who they are.
Yeah. But that was a big part of the documentary as well, was the rape culture that exists. Yeah. You know, it's just...
As Jim Goad said, that's basically women who fantasize about being raped.
But, see, the thing is as well, that you got this mass hysteria going on these days by feminists and leftists, you know, and I'm talking about the extremists out there, not just people who are general liberals or left-wingers, you know?
Right.
You're not all like that. You're extremists out there who seem to think that, you know, look under the bed, there's a Nazi. Look in the cupboard, there's a fascist. Go outside your door, there's a rapist. It's just, it's ridiculous. It seems to be this, you know, walk down the street, go to your 7-Eleven, there's the Klan, you know, buying Slurpees. It's insane.
They see Hitler in their Cheerios, literally.
Yeah. Yep, they take a photo of it, and the picture goes viral, and they sue Cheerios, and Cheerios, well,
yeah,
we'll probably go out and apologize for it. It's just, it's a two-way street. You can see these things or assume these things, but if you're apologizing for something you had no intention of ever doing, you are feeding the monster. Yeah. That's what you're doing. It's like when they say, such and such is racist because it's the color white. Well, okay, I'm sure the person or persons who invented that product, when they made that product white, didn't go the way to say, yeah, white power, nationalism, yeah. It's just the color that it is.
Actually, I think dairy farmers are the most racist people possible, and milk is white because of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the type of logic we're getting these days. I think it's because, I've probably said this on the show before, but it's social media is allowing, it's giving a voice to people that before the internet, you would have never listened to these people in your life. You would have completely socially shut them down or ignored them in the real world. But now they have a microphone with the internet.
And people still need to listen to that voice, John. So if they choose to listen to it, it's everything's a two-way fucking street. It really is.
Yeah.
Well, they create their own echo chamber. So it seems like that their opinion is the only opinion. And they have that echo chamber where they have all their like-minded sheep, you know, baaing the same thing back and forth to each other. And then when they hear a opinion that's different from theirs, they can't accept it because they surround themselves on social media with people who think just like them.
Yeah. Who are just as fucked up in the head.
Yeah. The one great thing that has happened is the left has become so fucking dumb and so fucking insane that And that the right, that a big portion of the right has used humor to combat them. And that's why, as Paul Joseph Watson says, the conservatives are winning the culture war, is because they've been able to take their insanity and turn it back on them.
Yeah, like Milo as well is another one.
Yeah.
He does it. Kevin McInnes.
Yeah. I mean, you look at like kids today. And you see, like, I mean, I'm not talking about, like, the college students. I'm talking about the kids in high school. And you see them. I see more of these kids being Donald Trump fans than I see them being, like, Barack Obama fans. It's because the right is fun, you know? Hmm. It's where you've got a cartoon frog named Peppy, you know? You have all this, like, fun shit, you know? And
you have
and
an ex-McDonald's like, figure.
So. Yeah.
Part of that alt-right counterculture now, yeah.
Yeah, you've got all this fun shit on the right, and you know, it's like the left is like, the lame kids. They're the, like, fucking nerds, you know? And you don't want to be the nerd. You want to be the one that beats up the nerds. But what we're doing is we're beating them up with humor. And that's what's kind of changed. That's why I'm looking forward to the next 10 years to see where this all leads, because it could destroy the Democratic Party.
It is.
Oh, boy. If only you were right. If only you were right.
It could. If the Democrats keep going the same route they're going now and they don't pivot at all, it could be the destruction of their party.
You know, watching this documentary, they had that little part where they were talking, or they were showing a CNN clip of Underpants Boy, what's his name, Anderson Cooper, and Hillary Clinton on there. And yeah, she was talking about, you know, when kids reach the age of 18, should they be signed up immediately for the Defense Force, the military over there, men and women? And he goes, what about the women? She goes, I'd have to think about it. That, to me, that summed up her whole campaign. It ran strictly on feminism and fear-mongering. That's all it was.
Yeah, like, that's basically why you could see why she crashed and burned last fall.
Yeah.
Other than she's a drunk and doesn't listen to anybody.
And Donald Trump was the fun candidate. I mean, he was. You saw those debates. The second debate is the funniest presidential debate in the history of presidential debates. I mean, it was like Donald Trump was acting like it was Showtime at the Apollo, you know, and it wasn't a presidential debate. I mean, I was completely won over by that second debate, to the point where I'm like, there's no way I'm not voting for Trump after this debate. I mean, and I'm sure it turned a lot of people over to Trump because, you know, it was like, I don't want that fucking self-serious fucking cunt Hillary winning. I want the fun dude to win, you know?
Yeah. That's
the one where he went, you'd be in jail, and everybody turned into a gangster rap.
And that's the same one where she gave out the reaction time of the nuclear code. He goes, you just give out the reaction time to a nuclear code being given out. She just looks like a fucking stunned rabbit. It was like, oh.
That had the Bill Clinton rape victims in the crowd.
With the
infamous shot of Bill Clinton looking to the side, looking nervous. That was like one for the ages. I was like, I was watching that at the gym and not expecting anything because Trump didn't do so well in the first debate. And I'm on the elliptical and I started cracking up. I was laughing. I almost fell off the damn elliptical. I was laughing when I saw that. I was like, I can't believe this. This is like a game of the dozens or something.
It's the best presidential debate in the history of presidential debates.
And it's also the one that gave Ken Bone his 15 minutes of fame. Literally.
Oh, yeah.
Ken
Bone, yeah.
Yeah, where are they now, Ken Bone? Yeah. They start selling his red sweaters on Amazon.
With the docs, like, right away, and just totally went after him.
Oh, he ran with that fucking 15 minutes and maximized it by putting Ken Bone red sweaters on Amazon. I'm like, give me a fucking break, really? People getting dressed up at Halloween as Ken Bone. Give me it. It's ridiculous. Why would you do that crap?
Yeah. But also, I think that, you know, she ran on a lot of the issues that the grandstanders are talking about in this documentary, and look how they flopped with the public. So I think that's some evidence that it doesn't really fly with the general working population.
Mm. But there was one thing that was, I mean, that was undeniable, and there was the fact that when it does come to family court, the men basically get screwed over. The fathers do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and
that's brutal.
That is sickening. And shame on those judges out there who know that by giving the children to the mother, I'm not saying every mother, okay? I'm not saying that. So don't get misconstrued on that one. The judges out there who give custody to the mothers, when they clearly know the mothers are not fit and the fathers are, should hang their heads in shame. Shame on you all. It's disgusting.
It is.
I mean, really, the only way a judge will grant custody to the father is if, like, the mother comes in with, like, a heroin needle in her arm. That's, like, the only time they'll be like, okay, we're going to give custody to the
even then, that's not guaranteed either.
Yeah. That's like a 70% chance they'll give it to the father.
It gets brutal. Like, I know a guy. I'm not gonna dox him here. But he got a divorce. He got custody of his kids. And he still had to pay his ex-wife a crazy amount of alimony. He was seriously thinking of just fleeing to Costa Rica with his kids. Like, he was really thinking about it. He got totally hosed over by the judge.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The judges should be fucking ashamed of themselves.
Yeah.
Just disgusting. So there was, I mean, there was stories in those shows in the documentary about that guy who killed himself because he couldn't get his kids and he couldn't get his son, and just very, very sad to watch. One thing in there that was very tough to watch was the circumcision of the baby.
Oof, yeah, that was quite something. Really upsetting.
Yeah, it was. But honestly, if you looked at some of the women, and thank God there are some women in this documentary who are men's activists as well.
Yeah.
And when you look at them, you think, nah, they look like devout feminists. But they're not. Especially the one that was speaking in the back of that bar, whatever it was, and on the couch there with her, and you think, man, looks like a feminist, but I tell you what, that's judging a book by its cover, because she was pretty friggin' switched on. And
yeah, I saw her first on Gavin McInnes' show a couple of years back.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, so I was familiar with her, and I knew she was going to have a very, you know, unique viewpoint that would surprise everybody. So it was pretty cool that she was on it. Mm. And I watched some of her YouTube videos. She's smart. She knows what's up.
And again, the ones who were the men's activists are the ones who spoke calmly and quietly and concisely, didn't scream, didn't yell, didn't curse, just actually had a viewpoint to put across that made sense. All the feminists in here just came across like, they came across like fucking idiots, basically.
The worst people imaginable.
By the way, the short-haired woman, the Canadian, is Karen Strahan,
who has
a pretty, very good YouTube channel. Looks like she's on some other similar documentaries I'm seeing listed on IMDb, so that's interesting.
Good. But yeah, as Gara just said, that the actual worst people imaginable was those, the feminists and the ones who just... I mean, I don't know who's worse, the feminists or the male feminists. I think they're both as pathetic as each other, to be honest with you.
Yeah. But, I mean, the male feminists, it's just like, it's the biggest fag thing you can do without being a fag is being a male feminist. Especially, I mean, I don't mean to say, like, I mean, feminists started in a good place, you know, with women wanting equal rights and all that. And no guy would be like, you know what? We don't want equal pay for women or anything or anything like that. Any guy is like, yes, we agree with that. What happened was, it's like the liberals weaponized feminism and they totally corrupted it to the point where, you know, anyone with half a brain would be an anti-feminist because it's been so twisted and corrupted that it doesn't even reflect what it started as.
Well, there was that woman on the documentary who created those men's shelters over in the UK that, Erin Pizzi, I think her name was. And now the shelters that she created and helped construct, she's now longer allowed on there because it's now run by an extremist feminist who hates her for having... It's just insane. It's just... Feminism... You know what they say? Milo says feminism is cancer. I really find it hard to argue against that. It really is a cancerous mindset.
Oh, it is, because they got what they wanted 30, 40 years ago. And now, after that, what do? Well, you're established, you have all this money that was given to you as donations to achieve your political goal, and what do we do now? Well, we have to justify our existence. So then it just becomes a power grab. That's all it is.
Yeah.
They want a one-sided, you know, they want special treatment. They want a one-sided argument, you know. They want a double standard. That's all it is.
It's all it is. Feminism is one massive double standard. And so is Hollywood as well, where there are, you know, equal pay for women. But it's true that women don't bring in the audiences that men do.
There are some that do, and there are some that don't. It all depends on how much money you can bring in. And the best way to be able to do this in Hollywood would be able to be like, okay, instead of paying you an upfront fee, you get 15% of whatever the movie grosses. But the problem is, Hollywood fucks with the grosses so much that, you know, they don't want no... actor will do it for, you know, a percentage, because they'll never get any money because of the creative,
They'll cook the books and say, well, yeah, we lost money here and it hasn't really made that much, and, you know, you're not entitled a percentage just yet because we haven't received X amount of dollars. A lot of that stuff going on. So,
So, would be the ideal way to do it.
Yeah. Mm. Well, Danny Aiello I read his autobiography or listened to the audiobook, and he said when he did The Professional, he took it for low pay, but he got a back-end deal, like, you know, percent of the gross. And he didn't expect anything from it. And he got a check for like 20 grand just from one theater in Paris. He said, wow. The French are amazingly great at paying you the back end deal, like as soon as they can. He said, Hollywood, it takes decades and often you just never see it. And I've heard that's why guys like Stallone and some of these other
Eddie
action
was
stars,
one
they well. Get real abusive and say, okay, I want motorhomes with my favorite weightlifting machines on them, and I want a flight to Miami every week. And like they get real demanding because they know they're never going to see their back end deal anyway.
Yeah.
So they just basically take advantage of the studio and just demand a ton of money and buy me this house and this town and everything, and because they know they're never going to see that 5% or whatever it is.
Yeah, I know Stallone right now is suing Warner Brothers over his back end for Demolition Man.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Never saw it. Yep, never saw it. Like, got creative with it. Oh, of course, they paid Nicholson his $60 million for Batman that he got on a back-end deal for playing the Joker.
$60 million?
Something like that. He made like $30 to $60 million on back-end profits out
Good
of it.
Good heavens.
It was something crazy like that. Like, they really wanted him to have that role, and they made a crazy-ass back-end deal.
There are some actors who can get their back end. Like Robert Downey Jr. gets his back end for those all the stuff he does for Marvel, because they know that if they don't give him what he's owed, he won't come back and do any of those movies. So Robert Downey Jr. gets his back end.
Okay. Oh, well. Didn't get his presidential candidate, so who cares? He can have all the money he wants.
Well, no one in Hollywood, except for Scott Baio, got their presidential candidate.
Yeah. Baio and maybe Clint Eastwood, and that's about it.
And Bruce Willis.
Yeah,
Bruce Willis.
And Dean Cain as well is another one. From Superman.
Yep, Dean Cain.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, I don't know about Eli Roth. Because he's a Milo fan. I don't know. And I know he totally, the Death Wish trailer dropped last week, and he looks like shit to me, but he totally did trigger warning, and he used all this language to completely get the word out there. And of course, you got the expected reaction from the left that it looks like a big racist movie with a middle-aged white guy shooting criminals and stuff. And it's like, yeah, it's called the Death Wish formula. That's why it makes money.
You know, it's funny because I haven't liked an Eli Roth movie since Cabin Fever, which I really liked. I really like Cabin Fever, but I felt he's never lived up to Cabin Fever. And I didn't really have any interest in Cabin Fever. And then the response from the left now has me really excited to see the movie, which is
Death Wish, right? Yeah.
Yeah, for Death Wish. And it's like it's weird because, like, that movie that opened this week that SJW propaganda Detroit opened.
Yeah.
And it opened up to like, I think, under $8 million. And they were expecting it to make like $15 million this weekend. And I definitely think it's like a backlash against everything SJW. And that's why it did so poorly. And I think Death Wish now might actually be a huge hit for the opposite for the same reason, but oppositely, that it is a reaction to all this SJW bullshit. And because this movie might seem like it is a movie for, conservatives, when there isn't movies for conservatives coming out of Hollywood, very rarely do they come out. And I think this movie might be a big hit just because of that.
No, it's not. It's not. That film's not a backlash, Garrow. It's a white lash.
Yeah, white lash.
Yeah, I've talked to a friend who's in the industry, and he said, yeah, it looks like shit, but I think it actually could be a massive hit. You know, because it's filling a void that movies just don't even try for nowadays, like, because they all think they're making a point or they're sucking up to Beijing. You know, it's one or the other.
You know what's funny? Like, I watched the trailer the first time, and I'm kind of like, eh. But then I watched it again. Yeah. And then I said, you know what? The trailer makes it seem like a feel good movie about vigilantism. Like, I go, because it's like all that's missing is, instead of using AC/DC, they should have used the song "I'm Walking on Sunshine."
Yeah.
Like,
that
that's
hilarious.
Because it's like he has the trailer ends with him in a scene in a psychiatrist's office, and the psychiatrist is like, "Oh, you seem much happier. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it." And it's like, "Oh boy, this is like I didn't notice this the first time. It's like really like baiting like fucking liberals."
You know what they should have used for an AC/DC song, not Back in Black. They should have used "Shoot the Thrill." That's what they missed up.
Oh yeah, totally.
That was a dropped up missed opportunity right there. But never mind.
Or if you want blood, you got it.
Yeah. Of course, it being a conservative film, it'll probably, you know, say that Back in Black is now a racist song because it's all about back into black ghetto area and just shooting them dead. So, you know, they'll twist it to any way they want.
I'm waiting for it. I'm totally waiting for it.
Well, according to the liberals, Bruce Willis is the new George Zimmerman, so.
Not quite, but he's on the right track. Is he going to take
just by being in a movie like that, he's as bad as George Zimmerman.
Yeah. I kind of wished Gran Torino, which I finally did see, I kind of wish that was a Death Wish type film. It wasn't quite there.
It practically was. It's actually what the last Death Wish movie should have been with Bronson.
Well, Gran Torino?
Yeah. To me, that's what the last Death Wish movie should have been like, where Kersey goes out, you know, on that type of note. That would have been pretty good.
Getting shy by a bunch of Hmongs.
But then they'll all end up in prison, so because everybody saw it. So he set him, and he was dying anyway. That's like, you know, I had an argument with the old co-host of the old show I don't talk about.
Yeah.
Because he wanted Eastwood to live at the end. It's like, but it's completely set up in the movie that he's going to die. You know, because you see him in the doctor's office, and it's like, you don't have long to live. You got this
coughing up
your
blood,
or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
He's going to go.
Yeah. But
the funny thing now is after, you know, Clint Eastwood went after Obama, he probably now is very happy that he died at the end of Gran Torino.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he knew there was going to be a gay black president in power for 8 years, right?
Yeah, but now they're paying for it with Trump.
Well, speaking of big gay blacks, are you going to take Brand to see Death Wish with you?
Nah. I don't even know if he watched the trailer. I didn't talk to him about it. But yeah. I mean, I know he went to go see that Stephen King movie this weekend. He was like, it was shit. And, you know, usually with an actor, a black actor leading a movie, he would be like, oh, it's good because it's got a black actor in it. But he even actually came out and said it was garbage.
The Dark Tower.
Yeah, Dark Tower, yep.
Yeah. You should ring Gary. You should ring Brent now, live. Get him on the speakerphone and see if he wants to come and see Death Wish with you.
Nah.
Just tell him, you're on the podcast with a bunch of white people.
It's definitely a future podcast idea. What's the After Death Wish show? And then Garrow and Brenner on talking about the reactions.
You'd never get him on, Garrow, would you? He wouldn't come on.
No, he won't come on. He thinks it will hurt his fancy job.
Yeah. His funk band couldn't get booked, you know.
Yeah, you were on an alt-right podcast. You can't do it anymore here in Massachusetts.
Yeah, we're not even alt-right. I mean, that's
no, but
well, everybody thinks we are. We're new right, I guess. But
here's the thing. We all support Trump, so we're alt-right compared to Yeah.
No, we have right wing sensibilities, but therefore we're all right.
Yeah,
yeah, all right.
Anyone who's not
we have country fair politics. That's the way I see it. We think like cowboys. It's just common sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know, the left. Anyone who's not a liberal is a alt right Nazi.
Well, so their big problem is they've lumped Johnny Depp, Bruce Willis, and David Duke all in the same group. There's no distinguishing. There's no level of offense there. It's just that they're all the same.
Why is Johnny Depp lumped in there?
Because of the whole what's her name? His ex
Amber Heard.
Yeah,
Amber.
They really went after him around that. He said something. And he's a total wuss and, you know, beta cuck wimp everything. And boy, they just lumped him in with all of that. You know, like suddenly he's all right, and he's not right wing at all.
Ah,
you
know, he's fucking far from it.
Liberal, but they've lumped them all together in the same evil group. They're all Nazis.
My attitude is, you know, I just say what you want. I don't give a shit. I don't care. screen, if I'm going to go and see, say if Milo come out here, let's say, or Gavin McInnes, somebody came out for a speaking tour, and I was going to go see them, and they were just screaming at the front of me, just say what you want, fuck off, I'm going inside. Why am I going to stand and talk? Why do I have to stand and talk to you and try and reason with you? Just fuck off. I got no need to speak to you. You know, I pay my money to come and see them, not to stand at the front and talk to a bunch of fucking brainwashed jerk-offs.
Yeah.
The thing is that the liberals and the feminists and all that, they just don't want to hear anything that's not within their echo chamber. And that's it. And it's like, we don't fucking care. Like, how many times do you hear, like, Michael Moore go somewhere, or fucking Obama, or Hillary Clinton, and all that, and do you hear of anybody, like, picketing it, or anything like that? You never hear it, because we don't fucking care. Say whatever you have to say. You can say it. This is a free country. Say what you have to say. I don't have to fucking agree with it, but I'm not going to go and fucking picket you just for what you say. But and it's because I don't think your argument holds any water. And so you can say whatever you want, but I don't even think they believe in their argument. So that's why they have to try to shut down what we have to say, because we are more convincing than they are.
When Soros goes, when his time is up, a lot of this shit will shut down. You watch.
No, it won't. No, it won't. From what I heard, his son is a mini him, and he's going to carry on the legacy. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. But I hope you're wrong, because
I hope I'm wrong too. But I doubt I will be.
Mm. But they're just all paid fucking hoods. That's all they are. They're just waste of space. It's kind of good that we've got them. Because now it will show future generations that gets wiser and gets smarter, and look at them and go, I'm not turning out like that.
Oh, yeah, they don't look cool. They do not look good. And normal people hate all that protesting shit. They hate it. They can't stand it. They couldn't stand it in the 60s. They really hate it now.
Mm.
You're blocking traffic, like that stuff they were doing in Minnesota and stuff. It's like, people hate that shit. They really do.
And the thing is, well, social media has just been a cancerous effect on it as well. It's just
right.
I sometimes absolutely despise social media. I really fucking do. Whatever happened to this one, John, that we were talking about called Gab or whatever it was called? What happened to that?
Gab, I'm on it. It's an echo chamber. That's the only thing. It's just, there's no, it's kind of boring because it's just an echo chamber. Everybody's got Pepe by as their avatar. And,
yeah.
It's just very wall-to-wall the same viewpoint, which is, that's boring. You know, even if it's a viewpoint you agree with 100%, it's dull because it's not making you think. Like, I listen to people I don't agree with, and that includes people on the right. I don't agree with every right-winger or conservative or libertarian, and it's like I take different viewpoints. And
like John McCain.
Right. I can't stand that guy. But
not many people can.
I think he's horrible. But we don't agree with everything on our side. And what I noticed over on the other side, it's pretty much a uniform echo chamber.
It's a mob mentality. Gab is
almost,
it's a mob mentality.
Gab is like, if everybody agree with everybody on the right wing side, they don't.
No, they don't.
If they agree with everybody,
No, that's because we know how to sit down and listen to people, and we can decipher. We can decide. Right, well, I agree with that. I don't agree with that. I mean,
right.
Our prime minister over here, he's right wing. But I fucking hate him. I want him gone. He's just he's absolute pits. So I'm not stuck in an echo chamber. I go, hey, Malcolm Turnbull can't do a thing wrong. Greatest prime minister. No, worst fucking prime minister I've seen since shithead Gillard.
Right. And I don't like every Republican. I don't like every, conservative.
Yeah, I don't think any of us are fans of George W. Bush as president.
Not really. No.
No. I mean, I'll tell you, if it was outside of Rand Paul, if any of the other Republican had won the nomination, I probably wouldn't have voted for him. I probably would have voted like third party. I didn't like any of the other Republicans except for Rand Paul. The only one, thankfully, Trump stole the Republican nomination.
And if it had been any other candidate and the Democrats had chosen Jim Webb as their nominee, I would have probably voted for Jim Webb over most of the other Republicans, except Rand Paul and Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And that's a fact. Jim Webb, I thought, was a reasonable guy. He was, and thus he only lasted, two debates, and he was out of the Dem primary.
Because, unfortunately, the Democrats don't want a sane candidate, they want like a fucking Hillary or a Bernie. And it's right. sad that you know that they're going to keep going down that horrible road. And I don't see them winning any elections anytime soon. I mean, they have the one coming up where it looks like Kid Rock's going to win. They said the polls, he's like through the roofs that he's going to win that election. You have Pocahontas here in Massachusetts going up for re-election soon. You know, and
she'll probably win, even though you'll vote for Curt Schilling, but she'll win.
I hope Curt Schilling wins, but I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, most of the ridicule that Trump threw her away will stick, but you never know. I mean, we got a bunch of wusses here in the state, so, you know, but I mean, we have like a Republican governor, but he's like a total cuck, a Republican cuck, you know, he's definitely,
oh, yeah, they always are.
Yeah, they it's more, are. It's, he's more of a Soros Republican. Like, he's always bad-mouthing Trump, so, you know, fuck him.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. When do all those working-class Irish loudmouth trashy guys, when do they vote? That's what I want to know. I've worked with a bunch of them, and they don't seem to vote, or they vote Democrat for some reason.
I think most of them have fucking left Boston because of the rent. I mean, it's everything
probably,
is
probably
like,
so. Yeah. It's horrible.
Yeah. You know, it's not... It's not the Boston of 20 years ago anymore.
How bad's the rent over there?
Oh, it's terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like higher than New York, last I checked.
Shit.
Yeah.
What is it, like a grand a month for a two-bedroom? Oh, really?
You're talking $1,000 a month for a fucking studio.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, and that's like a really cheap studio, like not even a really good one.
Fucking
I hate to say it, Denver is starting to get that way because of legalized weed. Everybody's moving here, and the weed shops pay like $20 an hour cash, and so you have all these guys who otherwise would be taking $10 an hour fast food jobs, making killer money working retail in these stores, and it's just we've had this incredible influx of citizens. And so now it's like it's getting to be Boston prices. For so, like, I know a coworker who transferred down to Florida because she couldn't afford to live here without roommates.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
There's a double-edged sword. Sometimes you want your privacy, and you want your privacy, you've got to cough up the bucks. But look, let's bring it back to the documentary. We've gone way off track. I think half the time this documentary is just an excuse to really talk about how much we despise the left or the extreme side of the left, anyway. But yeah, look, overall, I found the documentary to be good. Not quite the powerhouse I was expecting from it. I mean, I was going to watch it last night about 10:30. I thought, no, I think this thing's going to make me too angry before bed, so I don't want to watch it then and be wound up all night from the content inside it. Got up at this today about 6 o'clock. Was going to watch it at 6 a.m. I thought, no, because I was going to watch the documentary, that National Lampoon one, after it. I thought, no, if I get too angry watching this Red Pill documentary first, it's going to ruin my National Lampoon documentary, so watch National Lampoon first. Got quite a few laughs out of that, and then put this in. But it wasn't quite... I mean, in the end, I couldn't work out what all the brouhaha was about why people were receiving death threats if they were screening it over here. And
well, see, that's the whole point. If you watch the documentary and you're like, this is a very even-handed documentary, but the problem is the left doesn't care about that. If it goes against any bit of their propaganda, they're going to lash out at it. I mean, really, their response to this documentary is actually the point of the documentary in a way, you know?
Yeah.
That they actually lashed out so hard at this documentary, which they come off horribly because they chose to come off that way. They did themselves no favor in the way they acted. You know, how badly they're portrayed in this documentary is 100% their fault.
It really is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, well, like, I've heard things about where they'll say, oh, just taunt the people on the right as much as possible because they won't ever fight back. Well, what happens when there's a day when people on the right do start fighting back? Literally fighting back. I'm not advocating the violence by any stretch.
It's starting to happen. Look what happened at Berkeley. You know, there was that huge brawl in Berkeley where they fucking kicked Antifa's ass. You know, it's happening. It's starting to happen. The right is starting to fight back.
Oh, but come on, Gary. I mean, all these Antifa protests are all right-wing red flags, right?
Well, I mean, the thing is like, I know August 19th, there's going to be a free speech rally here at Boston Common. Right. I think Gavin McGinnis is going to be there. And I'm thinking of going to it. And I'm hoping that there will be a clash between, you know, the Proud Boys and Antifa, because that's what it seems to be going. But I think the police present might stop it. But we'll see.
You're going to go, are you?
I think I am.
Yeah. What if they had a free speech rally by BG Combi? Would you go?
Well, he is the leader. He is the leader of Boston Antifa, so I'm hoping he'll be there.
Yeah, right. Oh, please!
With his Karl Marx puppet, his fascinating.
Did you see he put up a new video today where he just goes after atheists?
Oh, I gotta. I'll have to look at that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
There's so much to keep up with now. I mean, when I was talking to Hunter, he said that. He watches, while he's doing his hour of cardio, he's watching, like, YouTube videos. I'm like, shit, really, to keep up with this, an hour of cardio a day, you could pretty much watch all those YouTube videos and probably still not catch up with what everybody's doing.
I can't
Paul Joseph Watson, Gavin, that guy.
Stephen Molyneux.
Yeah, Stephen Molyneux just posts, like, incredible stuff every day, and it's like, I don't have time. It's insane.
Yeah, Roger Stone as well.
It's actually funny how the right has pretty much turned YouTube into like you know, conservative talk radio. I mean, it's amazing. It's funny how like Google's now trying to fight what YouTube has turned into, because Google is the biggest left wing organization there is, and the conservatives have taken over YouTube.
Can't complain about that. But
nope.
You were saying about Hunter doing an hour of cardio watching his YouTube videos. Yesterday, I took a complete ban off the internet. Just said no, because I was busy Saturday with two of my boys' joint birthday party. And Sunday, I said, right, I'm not going near the internet. And you know what? It felt great. I didn't go on social media. I didn't go on the net. No, I just sat down, watched a bunch of football, did some things. Did a bit of reading and just switched away from the world. And I got to say, I actually really enjoyed it. So my point is getting up and catching up with YouTube all the time. I couldn't do it. I'm actually become pretty sick of YouTube, to be honest with you. And I don't watch it that much to begin with.
Yeah, it's not. The thing is, like, at one point when I was working at home, I could have these videos running while I worked. It was pretty easy. But now I'm not working at home. I can't watch these videos in the office, so I can't keep up. But I had problems keeping up even when I could just run this crap all day. You know, it's just too much.
Yeah, I mean, and I got a bunch.
It gets repetitive too. It does get repetitive. Like
it does.
You know, you're gonna hear the same stuff over and over again.
Yeah.
I mean, I got like people I watch on there, like Paul Joseph Watson. You always have to watch his stuff, you know. And I like the PewDiePie stuff,
right.
You know. I like that I can actually curate a playlist of people I want to actually hear, and not have to deal with like, you know, Michael Moore, or have to deal with fucking, you know, Hillary Clinton, or have to deal with any of those stuff, and hear actually like people who are actually like level headed and not this, you know, insanity. You know, it's because the problem is the left has gone fucking insane, and they don't know that they're insane. That's the weird thing, you know. It's like
there's a lack of introspection there. Also, another thing is Paul Joseph Watson. His videos are like, they're never more than 10 minutes.
So they're real short.
You know, he's good at packaging that.
Yeah,
and it's very cool how they've kind of taken over. Because if you look at like any of the left wing stuff, like it's funny because on the big left-wing people that YouTube's in bed with are like the Young Turks. And if you look at the numbers for their videos, they're only like around 100,000 or so. I mean, they're not...
That's a Norm MacDonald style. That's 100,000 nerds.
Yeah, but it's not really that much for someone who's like their left wing, you know, top news talk show type thing. It's really kind of sad how low their numbers are. I think Paul Joseph Watson blows away their numbers.
He does, and who wants to listen to an Armenian Holocaust denier like Chink Tiger? Yeah. So, you know, fuck them.
Yeah.
It's like, awful. No, who, what young person wants to listen to those idiots? I can't imagine that.
You know, at least like Paul Joseph Watson, he's like funny, like his videos are funny and stuff like, and that's the problem. The left doesn't know how to use humor.
They got no humor. They're humorless. They're humorless. They got no sense of humor at all.
Yeah.
None.
And it's even like liberal comedians have lost their sense of humor. Yeah. Like they don't even know how to be funny anymore.
It's all just vitriolic hate. It's all is wrapped up in some sort of sense of humor, but it's not. Like you look at that idiot, that Stephen Colbert, he does his opening monologues, you think, this is just a bash session on Trump. What's so funny about this?
Yeah, they don't understand how to use humor, the left. And now for some reason, it's like this internet culture like infected the right and gave it a sense of humor. And whereas this is totally flipped. I mean, 20, 30 years ago, the right didn't have a sense of humor, and the left were the ones with the sense of humor, and it's totally fucking flipped. Yeah. And this is something like, if you told John or me, like, you know, back in the 80s that, you know, the conservatives were going to be the funny ones, we'd be like, fuck you, you're dumb, you're stupid. But that's what happened. Because the liberals crawled up their own ass.
Yeah. It's by their own hand.
Well they also got politically correct. Political correctness made them unfunny. And
it started with Dice Clay. That's where it started. Because the liberals, they're the ones who were the most offended by Dice Clay's thing. Because they're like, he's anti-gay. He made fag jokes. And that's when it started. That's when the left started going down this road. And then it was kind of like bubbling for a while. And then when George W. Bush became president, that's when it started to boil over. And then... when Barack Obama became president, that's when it just fucking exploded and the left just became the most obnoxious people out there.
That's miserable as well. The extremists we're talking about, not the, you know, the general liberals out there, the extremists.
But the problem is the problem, the thing that's going to kill the Democratic Party is that you don't hear any pushback from the normal Democrats.
No, they don't.
Like, you don't really see them like saying, listen, that's not us. That's an extreme version of our party. You don't hear that at all.
They've embraced their extremists. They've completely embraced them.
Like, even the right, there are people who I hear constantly, like, badmouth the extreme version of the right. Like, Richard Spencer. Like I hear a lot of people denounce Richard Spencer on the right. Whereas if there was a left Richard Spencer, they would be embracing him. Because they do embrace every extremist on the left. Yeah. And that's the problem, where the right knows how to denounce the bad people in their party, and the left doesn't.
The left is a mob mentality.
Yeah.
It's just a mob mentality. Yeah. It's like, we don't care what this person's like. If they're one of us, we'll embrace them. And there's no sort of common sense apply where they said, no, it doesn't represent our views, too extreme, don't listen to them, that's not us. No, they don't do that.
Like, the left doesn't see how fucking retarded Lena Dunham is. Like, how could you not see how fucking idiotic and retarded Lena Dunham is? If we had a conservative Lena Dunham, we'd be like, she has nothing to do with our party.
No, she's no one would have nothing to do with them.
She's a child molester, which they don't even... And she's an incestuous molester.
Yeah.
So it's like,
She lied about...
But she's a victim as well, of course, because, well, you know. She's a victim of some sort. And that's another thing as well, getting back to this documentary as well, is that the feminists are always victim. They revel in that victim culture.
Oh, they love, the left loves to be victims. They love to, and the thing is, it's like the one thing about the right, it's like, no, we're not victims. We're our own people and stuff like that. But the problem is the left is so, it's fucking claws right into the victim culture. They can't let go of it.
The left treat people like they're fucking idiots. They must have some sort of mentality where they think, everybody's an idiot, just tell them this and I'll believe it.
And they use groups as weapons. They use black people as weapons. They use gays as weapons. They use women as weapons. And they don't treat them like they actually like them. They treat them as something they can
use. They're just
use
a tool for whatever
arguments they have.
Yeah, they're just a tool for the cause. That's all they are. Yeah, whatever cause it is they've got. I don't think they even know what it is.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we protect you if you're gay. Unless you have conservative views, then you're a fucking sellout. They do the same thing with the blacks. It's like, oh, you know, we feel bad for you black people, slavery, blah, blah, blah. Oh, you like Donald Trump? Fuck you. You're a fucking sellout. You're an Uncle Tom, you know? And that's how it is. It's like, if you agree with their group think, they'll love you. The minute you have one thought that's away from theirs, they'll fucking insult you.
Yeah, so they're fucking hypocrites. Because if you're black and if you're... Yep. Like, you guys are familiar with Larry Elder, right? The radio...
Yeah, I know him, the black libertarian host.
Yeah. So you look at Larry Elder, right? You think, okay, black guy, he's obviously going to fall into that group that the left would embrace, black man, press, blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, I supported Trump. Oh, you're a fucking sellout. You're a racist.
Yep.
I've heard he's actually come on, Hannity, and said, oh, white people were calling Larry Elder a racist. I'm like, what? It makes no sense whatsoever.
I just recalled because Garo reminded me about how they pandered the groups. A lot of strategists believe that's what killed John Kerry's campaign in 2004 and why he lost was because he would say one thing to one minority group, then say another thing to another group, doing the dem pandering thing where he just came off as having no actual outstanding views. Because, you know, he'd say one thing to the gay groups, say another thing to the black groups, and then he'd say another thing to the feminist groups. And then he was doing ads in Colorado showing that he was a big hunter and he loved guns. I'm serious. And he was duck hunting and stuff. Well, he's not going to win. You know, GW is going to win this again. So it's just like, that's the sort of thing that does the men.
Well, I mean, remember,
they don't stand for anything.
Remember, when the WikiLeaks leaked that speech that Hillary did where she was talking to the Wall Street bankers, where she said, oh, you have to have a platform for, you know, them and a platform for, you know, the public. It shows that they're not sincere at all. They don't believe anything they say.
Yeah. And it comes off. And you could believe what Trump said, you know.
Yeah. And then if you look at it, you look at, like, the way that, you remember, there was that CNN anchor cuck. I think it was like Jack Tapper. Like, he actually went out went out after Linda Sasour. And then Linda Sasour said, oh, you must just be a member of the alt-right. And anyone who knows who that guy is knows he's nothing close to being alt-right. He's a liberal cuck, you know? It's just, that's the way they react.
I'm surprised he even went after Linda Sasour.
I know, it's because she, like, praised some Black Panther woman who killed a bunch of cops. And I guess that was a little too far for him. And he was like, you know, that's kind of weird that you're doing that. And then she was like, oh, yeah, because you're probably a member of the alt-right. And it's like, no, it's like, because that's the liberal way of thinking. If you don't agree with everything they say, you're a fucking alt-right Nazi.
You're an Islamophobe,
that's the way they think.
Man. Yeah. You're a homophobe, man. Just...
And meanwhile, they get mau-mau'd by, you know, like that cop killer. It's actually called, there's a phrase that was in one of the Tom Wolfe books where he talked about all these white liberals in the village in New York in the 60s would have these Black Panthers over at their apartments, and the Black Panthers just insult them the whole time, and the whites are just giving them money for their cause and stuff. They're getting mau-mau'd. That's a phrase for that. And that's what you're seeing again. It's just like... how nice and liberal they are, they allow themselves to be mau-mau'd again. They have no credibility.
Like the SLA with Patty Hearst.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. It's insanity. It's complete craziness. And that's what does them in. Because, like I said, normal folks across this country, they hate that shit. Like, they don't like it. They don't like they don't like the protests. They don't like any of that stuff. Yeah.
I think on that note, we should rate this documentary, which...
definitely.
We've... sort of scoot away from a little bit, but
we never do that. So
yeah, that's right.
We scoot away, but we were still kind of on topic.
Yeah, this was a good excuse to just bash the left, wasn't it?
Well, you would title this the Left Bashing Show.
Yeah. All right. So, Garo, what would you give this out of 10?
I would say this is a documentary that everyone needs to watch. Everyone. And is it the best documentary I've ever seen? No. Is it a very good documentary? Yes. And for that, I will give it 7 dead feminists.
Did you see a t-shirt one of the feminists was wearing? It said, "I'm the liberal pro-choice something you were warned about." Like this, just this.
Yeah, I saw that. Oh, yeah.
God, really? It's just like
hilarious. That's when Big Red was ranting, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, she's in the background. Yes, I saw it. Got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately. You can't see
Big Red, the reason why most men go gay.
Yeah. All right, John.
I think the first hour is a little bit sluggish, but you stick with it, and I think the second hour is actually really amazing. And so I get a good 7. It's a 7, definitely, no doubt about it.
Okay. All right, I'm going to give this 6.5. I thought it was very good. I do believe it needs to be seen as well. I don't think anybody on the left is going to watch it. Anybody with a clear thinking mind would go watch it because they're too scared of going down that rabbit hole and, you know, discovering things they may not want to know. I'm with you. I think the first hour was okay. Second hour was much better. Maybe I just expected a bit more from it and probably not so balanced, but I guess it's good that it doesn't just tilt directly towards the men's movement, therefore it can be seen as just a propaganda piece for them.
Yeah, I mean, she wasn't trying to make a Michael Moore movie, which is good.
No, that's right. So that was probably partially my fault for me expecting there to be a lot more tales of like fathers who have lost their kids and, you know, just like a lot more heartache to really get the point driven home. But, you know, I guess you don't need to go down the Michael Moore route to get the point home, I guess. But I'll give it 6.5. Skanky Toronto, ugly as fuck, redheaded feminist. Out of 10.
I should say as a post note on this, when I was in college, the Playboy men's columnist Aza Barber, I think it's Aza Barber, that's his name. He died a few years back, but he gave a speech at our college, and he kind of covered these topics. But back then, we just looked at him like he was, "Oh, what are you? What are you whining? What are you crazy?" Because this is 1992.
Right.
And I didn't know the stuff he was talking about was going to become pretty relevant, you know, 2 decades later.
Yeah,
you know, I just thought about it. I thought back on that while I was watching this. I went, "Oh my god!" A lot of the stuff Aza was talking about, this is it.
So, do we see feminism imploding within the next 10 years?
You're going to have to see the media outlets implode because that's how this message is getting out. It's the CNNs, the MSNBCs, the networks. I think when you see that die off, and we're seeing it, and also newspapers, which are just on the vine. I mean, they were on the vine even before the internet, but I think when you see those outlets shrivel up and weaken, that's when you're going to see this all implode.
You shit like Salon and Jezebel.
Well, oh, yeah,
Salon can't pay its rent.
Good.
Yeah, what's going to happen is you're going to see a lot more, I think, right websites and right news sources. I think they're going to become stronger. I think many people nowadays are becoming more red-pilled. I think the minute you can actually get through to someone, their mind kind of opens up and is able to become red-pilled. The problem is the left has been just so brainwashed, and those people are, a lot of them, I'd say about 90% of them are lost causes, and you just have to wait for them to die out, and they or for them to to hug a Muslim that's, you know, all bombed up and explode. But the cool thing is that the kids today, thankfully, the kids today are growing up more conservative than ever before. And I remember seeing a video on Facebook of a black teacher complaining about her students. I don't know if you guys ever saw it, and she's showing it, and all the kids have put up signs of like Obama, he lost, get used to it, and putting up photos of Donald Trump praising him. And they have a Mexican teacher, and they built a wall over the door to the classroom. And the black kids complaining like, "They're saying these kids ain't racist, but I'm telling you, these kids are racist."
Oh my gosh. It's Mark Lester's class of 2024.
And I'm going, thank God the kids today are fucking awesome. It's fantastic.
They figured it out.
Yep. And I'm going, these are the ones who are going to be voting for president in 3 years. It's going to be fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's going to be something else.
Yeah.
I'll have to find that video and send it to you guys. It's hysterical.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll find it somewhere. Surprised you never saved on your phone.
Kiro's got it bookmarked. It's like third thing down for Paul Joseph Watson.
Yeah.
Booty pie.
All right. Well, that's us done for this week. We're going to say goodnight and catch us out in all the usual outlets, Stitcher, iTunes, go to midnightmoviecowboys.com, email us midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. Shout out to the guy over in LA, Chris, who emailed us asking us, saying that he's been listening for the last 6 months and really enjoying the show. He did enjoy, John, the one you guys did, the In Like Flint, or Our Man Flint, whatever the hell it was called.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he really enjoyed that one a lot. And also wanted to know what the end music was for the show. What the outro music
John
was.
John doesn't listen to the episodes.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Yeah.
That's a Hunter question.
Yeah, I know who it is. I did it, so it doesn't matter anyway. But, yeah, email us at midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. One of us will get back to you in, you know, day two at the most. We'll answer your question or questions. So on that note,
and also Dangerous People Blu-ray and DVD December 12th.
Gotcha. Very good. Still on the cards for December 12th. That's good to know.
Yep.
Still has the commentary on there. Still has all the Angelina nudity pre boob surgery as well.
Oh yeah, she got her tits reduced.
Yeah, which is
oh, man.
A lot of poles went down at half mast the day that happened.
Yep. She's told me, I can tell you this, she told me back in, she told me that she was originally going to get the breast reduction surgery after she finished Dangerous People, but she actually did it years later. But I knew it was coming, but when she actually said I did it, I was expecting it, but wasn't expecting it. You know what I mean?
Hmm. You should have done. You should have contacted her and said, "Listen, don't throw away all the tissue."
Stuart wants it.
No, not all of it. But I'm saying you should have put like a little size dime bag, and like the first 200 Blu-rays come with a bit of her tit.
Well, I mean, tissue. If the doctors wouldn't let me keep my testicle, I doubt they're going to let her keep her tit tissue.
See, that's something there. You could have had your testicle. Yeah, you know, like as part of a Kickstarter for your next film.
Well, actually, what I wanted to do was I wanted to get it cut into four and then have it bronzed and put it on like a necklace for each of us to wear so we could be testicle brothers.
It sounds like a trance band.
Our show is so fucking gross.
Yeah. it's like they could, somebody could point at us and say, "You guys are nuts," and just hold up Caro's necklace and go, "Yep."
But they don't let you. They call that hazardous material. My testicle is considered hazardous material. That's retarded. It's my testicle.
It's just cancer and radiation. I don't know what they're talking about.
Could be.
I know.
You should have mailed it to that guy at Bizarre Foods and see if he would have eaten it. That Andrew Zinnan, whatever his name is.
You mean George Zimmerman?
George Zimmerman. Not George Zimmerman.
I don't know. I don't know if anyone would eat a cannibal would. I guess they would eat a human testicle, but I don't know if a regular person would. And on that note,
I think we better really wrap this up and get out of here. I think. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back next week. And so on that note, say goodnight, fellas.
Good night, fellas.
Yeah, MAGA dog.
Thank you for listening to the Midnight Movie Cowboys. For more information, go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com. Let's go. For feedback, comments, or show suggestions, go to midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. Like what you hear? Head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. Hear us on Stitcher Radio. Head over to stitcher.com and download the app. Want to help the show out? Head on over to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and hit the PayPal donate. We appreciate all donations of any denomination. Find us on Twitter at MMCowboys. Like us on Facebook. Head over to facebook.com. Type in Midnight Movie Cowboys. Hit the like button over there. Want to friend us personally on Facebook or follow us on Twitter? Go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and find the links from there on the right-hand side. Thanks for listening. See you all next week.